It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
You're listening to Fox News Radio. I'm Ben Domenech. It's one of the more interesting weeks that we've had in politics over the past couple of months, given that we had both the Super Tuesday contest and then the State of the Union combined in Tuesday and Thursday, a week that really was incredibly busy in terms of the number of different ramifications for what we saw go on both the Democratic side and the Republican side. So let's run through everything that we saw. First off, when it came to the Super Tuesday ramifications, I just don't think that there was any real surprises built in there. You know, the simple fact is that Nikki Haley had approached this from a perspective of trying to, you know, send the message that she was the number two candidate this time around, someone who potentially could, you know, make some noise at a future convention or in future years. And she obviously achieved that to some degree. But I do think that, you know, it was a message sent that the simple fact is Donald Trump is the ruler of the GOP. He is the most important figure in every different respect. And the idea that anyone was going to challenge him for this spot is really nonsensical. And, you know, I think that, you know, in retrospect, the idea that anyone was going to be able to try to find some pathway to getting the nomination instead of the former president seems pretty laughable. So, you know, at the end of the day, Nikki Haley is able to go out holding her head high to a certain extent, but also someone who, frankly, at the end, got a lot of support from Democrats, voters who crossed over to vote for her in those different competitive states, especially those, you know, open primaries and the like, who aren't likely to end up being in the Republican circle, you know, when it comes to the fall. The problem for the former president, Donald Trump, is that there are a certain number of those Nikki Haley voters, whether they are independents, whether they are, you know, lean R's, however you want to describe them, who he actually needs in order to win another term in office. And I don't know how he gets them back. This is the thing that seems to be a challenge for him, and one that is not all that interesting from the perspective of the people who are around him. They don't seem to care that there is such a significant number of lean R independents and the like who are essentially at odds with the former president over, let's say, January 6th, or, you know, if you think it's the abortion issue, it could be any number of issues. The point is just this: I don't think that there's a strategy to win them back. And maybe they think that there's going to be some big, you know, influx of these voters once the former president has chosen his vice presidential running mate. Maybe they think that there's going to be some opportunity to get them under different circumstances. But the simple truth is, from my perspective, that he has done very little to send the message that he's interested in these voters, interested in having them back in his coalition. And that's one of the reasons why I think Nikki Haley chose not to endorse him. I think that she wants very much to see the kind of movement, the kind of shift in his behavior that would lead to both her voters and, you know, people like her, you know, coming around and essentially saying, you know, yes, we'll make peace with you, in order to, you know, advance, in order to have some kind of coming together, in order to get rid of Joe Biden in the White House.
More of the Ben Domenech podcast right after this. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's flip to Joe Biden. Joe Biden goes in front of the U.S. Congress. He comes in front of the House and gives this State of the Union speech, which I think is just one of the worst speeches that we've seen come from a sitting president in that venue. And it's absolutely disturbing the way that I think he approached this. It's something that I think is really troublesome on a deep level, that he would choose to engage in the kind of partisan rhetoric, the kind of attack politics that we saw from the stage, from the podium, and something that really is just not akin to the kind of State of the Unions that we've seen in the past. You can go back and look at the Donald Trump State of the Unions. There's obviously the first one's the joint address to Congress, and then you have three State of the Unions on top of that. And quite honestly, they are an expression of the Trumpian kind of approach in a lot of different respects, but they are also not partisan speeches. They are much more akin to the traditional approach that has been used time and again, you know, from that podium. And unfortunately, I think this time around, the Biden White House decided that this was going to be a speech that they used to try to cement their grounding in progressive politics, their support from the various Democrats in their coalition. And they didn't care about sending a message of unity or solidarity or, you know, whatever you want to call it, some kind of coming together of the American people. You know, instead, they decided to use it as something that was, even if it was divisive, would try to essentially cement their partisan approach to politics in an election year. And I'm really aghast that they did that. It's just not the way that that speech is supposed to work. There's so many different ways that you can give that speech that he delivered in different circumstances. You could give that as a convention speech. You can give that as a stump speech. But State of the Unions are supposed to be about bringing people together. And if you go back and you look at the way that they've been used in the past, they are absolutely about bringing people together over creating more divisiveness, creating more animosity between Republicans and Democrats and the like. Unfortunately, I think that, you know, they made this decision because they're pretty desperate. They think that they're losing the kind of support that they need from the progressive left. They think that they're losing the support that they need from a number of people who made the difference in states like Michigan in the past. And so because of that, they've decided to go out and, you know, deliver this message the way that they did. I find it to be abhorrent. I think it's completely out of step with, you know, any of the messages that Joe Biden has sent before about bringing back normalcy and bringing back respect to the office of the presidency. But this is the way that he chose to approach it. And, you know, look, the questions about energy, his ability to stand up there for a certain amount of time and have the energy to deliver that speech, you know, are certainly things that he got rid of. But along the way, he also engaged in, I think, the kind of rhetoric that has to disturb people. It has to make people feel like, you know, there is an approach that was emphatically embraced by Joe Biden when he ran for president the first time, that was about normalcy, unanimity, bringing people back together. And this time around, clearly, that's not the case. And it's not the case when it comes to the Supreme Court, not the case when it comes to the Congress, and not the case when it comes to, you know, any of the issues that the White House is currently facing. So at the end of the day, I think that we have a president who is of a partisan mindset, who is going into this election without any kind of doubts about where his bread is buttered. He absolutely believes that this is a base election where he just has to get his people out. He's not going to try to reach out. He's not going to try to have an olive branch. And to me, that's really a betrayal of everything that Joe Biden pretended to be the first time around when he ran in 20. It's everything that he tried to pretend to be over the course of his career. And so because of that, we're in a situation now where you're going to see, I think, an opportunity for former President Trump to actually reach out and bring some people on who might not be Trump supporters right now. They might not be people who have made up their minds about him in an emphatic way. It's going to be very interesting to see how he approaches that task and how he goes about trying to make that sale. I'm Ben Domenech. You've been listening to Fox News Radio. We'll be back soon with more to dive back into the fray. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.